This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 8 of Songs with Friends here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed, as I'm told we're supposed to say it. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me is the newest bae of wrestling Twitter, Kelly. Kelly, how are you today?
What is that mean? Oh, God, that's funny. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. Since we last recorded, I went down to Chattanooga, Tennessee for the Scenic City Invitational Wrestling Tournament. I encountered many people who enjoy the show, and 4 out of 5 of these people asked me, where is Kelly? So, well, yeah, you are big with the wrestling Twitter scene nowadays.
Well, that's pretty exciting. Yeah.
You're going to be part of the Miss Wrestling Twitter pageant next year, whether you want in or not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
So work on your tiara now.
Is that an actual thing, or we're just going to make that up? That starts next year.
You know, the wrestling prom is something that I kind of made up, me and at Bonnaroo Brit on Twitter, came up with that idea. And those of you who follow the SCI Twitter that weekend know what a full-on fucking dumpster fire SCI prom became. So, you know, why not move forward with the Miss Wrestling Twitter pageant? I think we can have a confirmed hoot with this idea.
Oh, my God. I'm a little bit scared, but we'll see.
I mean, you should be terrified. It's unruly at best. All right, guys, if you're new to Songs with Friends, we go over song lyrics with a fine-tooth comb. Sometimes we get serious, sometimes we get absurd, and sometimes we go down A1A to Detroit Avenue, because our first song is from 1989 or 1990. The album was originally called Hooked. It died a quick death, and then it was re-released later as To the Extreme. This is Ice Ice Baby by none other than Vanilla Ice. Kelly, why in the blue hell did you bring Ice Ice Baby before us?
you knew a lot of information about that. I didn't even know all that stuff you said right now, so that's pretty good. A lot of reasons, and I don't care. This is how I feel about this song. Like, everybody knows this song, and if you're at a wedding or like an event or whatever, and it comes on, people will sing it, like whatever. And it's kind of embarrassing. It's probably like one of the first like CDs I bought with my own money. And I was kind of like, and I felt kind of like a rebel because my parents did not like, we listen to rock music at my house, period. You know? So like, I didn't really ever listen to country or anything else or rap. And I don't know if this is like rap music, but anyways, it felt like very rebel to me. So that's why I picked it. Also, there's some other things. When we did the song last week, it had Queen and David Bowie, and there's some tie-ins on, you know, the writing of this song and the beats being stolen. I know Steve's going to want to talk about that. And then also, Travis, I'm considering of your group of people. How many have we got songs from them? 3 of them?
First off, I'm going to give you a chance to bury yourself here. What do you mean by my group of people?
Oh, God. Your friends, your group chat. Can we call it that?
Sure. Yes. Rich has contributed several songs. I believe we got one that Cam brought to my attention. Okay. And this is Travis's first contribution.
Travis did request this on Twitter. And I know he was probably kidding, but I'm considering this his pick. So how many people do you have left that we need to get to?
I don't want to out everyone that's in that group chat publicly.
Okay.
It gets kind of dicey in there sometimes.
Okay. Well, anyways, we're getting Travis done this week. So, and then, you know, I just thought you could tell the people what Travis does.
Travis is a longtime contributor to the Pro Wrestling Torch. His show, the East Coast Cast, just passed its 10th anniversary, which is a crazy, crazy milestone when you really think about just how long podcasts have been a thing. Just barely over 10 years. And he has had one on the air now on a premium site for over 10 years. He currently does the show with Cameron Hawkins. I believe it's every Wednesday evening at 6 or 6:30 Eastern. He's going to be up my ass for not remembering the start time, but it is what it is. He also does the VIP after show with Rich Fan, available exclusively to VIP members. So feel free to listen to that. Follow him at Travlord, TravLord on Twitter.
Yes. And we have very political. He's a political. We agree on a lot of things. So I do enjoy following him on Twitter. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
Whatever. okay, so that's it. We got a lot of, this song's got a lot of lyrics. So
Kelly, this is your song, so you will take the reins here.
I hope I do not accidentally try to rap, because I cannot. So please just, you know. But anyways, I'll get started. Okay, so starts out, yo, VIP, let's kick it. And then ice ice baby. All right, stop. Okay. Why are you laughing at me?
All right. I have a question right away.
Okay.
Is VIP a person?
No, I looked into this.
Ooh.
Yes.
So tell us, what's up with this?
So they're saying, what I uncovered was it was his breakdancing crew that he was part of. That was what they called themselves.
Did it stand for something?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I should have wrote that down. I don't remember now if it stood for something, but what I had read was, like, a lot of people just assumed, you know, it was like very important person, you know, like VIP, but right. It was actually what he, you know, his break dancing crew that he was a part of, which I don't know why, but I was a little bit surprised he was part of a break dancing crew, and I don't know why I was, but that's what that's about.
Well, thank you for having that little tidbit of information. See? There.
Yeah, I did my homework.
And to V-Ice's credit, I mean, for the time, he wasn't a bad dancer in this video. I mean, the wardrobe was just fucking abysmal. But he was perfectly competent for what would have been a rap video at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, it is. He's good at this time, in my opinion. I know people are going to probably hate on me about this, but I was here for this, like, song and a lot of songs on this album. So, and then I just think it's weird, like, they're already telling you to stop, but the song's just started. So it's like, whatever. That's kind of where we're at. So
to me, that's the attention getter, because it's
okay.
You got that boom, 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 tss, and it's not a real sample, because that is different, as he told us on the VH1 Behind the Music that I just watched 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh. We'll have to talk about that here.
So he's like, all right, stop. Like, everybody in the fucking party, stop what you're doing right now, because this white boy with the terrible hair is going to put on these baggy-ass glittery pants, and he's going to blow your mind.
Yes.
That was kind of his entry to the world, was, all right, stop, collaborate, and listen.
But what's even funnier is the next line. Ice is back with a brand new invention, but, like, really, it's a stolen song. So
it's,
like,
a stolen song. It's a stolen genre. So it's appropriation at its finest here.
Yeah. Yes.
Even his background, like, he was completely full of shit, saying he's some kind of Miami gangster. Nah, he's just a goofy Ken doll looking motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
That's it. He was handsome and had a decent flow for 1990.
Yeah. Was it 1990?
That's when this was released as its own single. It was originally on the B-side, you know, Kids. There were cassette tape singles back then Play That Funky Music, White Boy. That was supposed to be the hit, but it didn't sell at all. And then one radio DJ flipped the tape and played Ice Ice Baby instead, and it got over.
Look at you with the trivia.
Look, I did my research. I'm a podcasting professional now with 8 episodes under my belt.
I know. You really are. That's impressive. Well, so that's – did you read – okay, so what I read about, like, the song – well, you watched the – what was it? The Behind the Music?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so his explanation of those being different has to be, like, the worst, like – you know, when they're asking him about that and he's trying to tell you the difference between the Under Pressure and his song and the beats, right, is pretty horrible.
It would not stand up in a court of law at all.
Yes. Yes. So what's interesting, what I, you know, what I read about it, like, they didn't end up going to court. They settled out of court. And basically they added names to the song. So, like, you know, I don't think it had three writers or five, and then it went to seven or something like that. So, you know, these Queen, David Bowie, like, they don't want to be on an Ice Ice Baby, right? You know, they probably didn't want to be on this song, but I think that's kind of how they came to. They probably got money too. I didn't read much about that.
But I like to think that right before Freddie Mercury died, they handed him a check on his deathbed for $4.18 for his cut of Ice Ice Baby.
This song had to make a lot of money. Don't you think?
I'm sure it did. I mean, every one of my suburban ass white boy cousins were playing the hell out of this tape. So I'm sure it was doing some numbers.
Yes. Yes.
You know, yes. It got him in the Ninja Turtle movie, so surely that man is probably still cashing Ice Ice Baby checks.
This is kind of embarrassing because everyone keeps saying that, but like I can't remember the Ninja Turtle movie. That's horrible.
It was not the original one. It was the sequel where the turtles are fighting Tilka and Rezar, the two mutant animal-looking fellows, and they bust into a wall of a club, and Vanilla Ice is in there performing, and then instead of just stopping for, you know, mutant animals fighting in the club, he's like, nah, man, we're gonna rap about these ninjas. And they go into the ninja rap with a choreographed dance and fuckery, and nothing about it makes sense.
Yeah.
But then again, it's a movie about anthropomorphic turtles who learn ninjutsu from a rat. So nothing's supposed to make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like when you skip down in the song, then he says something about deadly when I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. And again, it just makes me think like you stole this song, like you stole this song from somebody. So he's, you know, well, did you read about the, what's his name? So I don't even know, the night guy. I don't even know what his name is.
Oh my goodness,
terrible.
Kelly.
That's so horrible.
Shug as in.
Shug, there you go.
As in sugar.
I don't know. Like, I don't know that a lot of people know information about this man that I do not know. So, did he hang him over the balcony or what?
Like, all right. There's differing stories on this. Suge Knight, I think, is right now in prison. If not, he just recently got out. But he was the founder of Death Row Records. Essentially, they wanted to get Dr. Dre out of his deal with NWA and Ruthless Records. Easy wouldn't sign the rights to the music over, or wouldn't sign the contract over. Suge went in there and got it done one way or another. And when asked about it in interviews, he's very coy about just how he made this happen. But he's known as a big street guy, gangster guy, violent guy. The story is that one of Suge's friends apparently did some of the writing on Ice Ice Baby. He was one of those 147 people listed in the credits.
Yeah.
Which is why the royalty check is only $4. But essentially, he was in on it and he was not given credit. So Suge paid him a visit and may or may not have hung him over the balcony of a hotel room to get him to sign the rights over.
Okay.
In some interviews, Vanilla Ice will say that he was scared shitless and that he thought he was going to die. And in other interviews, he's like, nah, man, that never happened.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe it happened and he's embarrassed about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure. Because I read something like it was like $4 million. I mean, that's a lot of money today. It was a lot of money back then. You know what I mean? Something about, you know, signed over like $4 million in royalties.
Well, I believe it because you hear these crazy stories about things that would happen at Death Row Records. I guess there was, they didn't have their own building. They just had one floor of an office building. And as soon as you get off the elevator, there's this big rug that had a Death Row Records logo on the rug. And if you got off the elevator and stepped on the rug, like, they beat the shit out of you, like, on the spot.
Oh, my gosh. I believe it. I believe it.
So, yeah, I have no problem believing that Suge held this fraudulent fucker over a balcony to get him to sign over the rights.
That's so scary. My goodness. Okay. Oh, and I have to say, I'm going to call him out on our show because he said last week or last show, whatever, Will from Texas, you know, that he was going to give me his notes. And these are things that he wanted to make sure he did give them to me. So, and I did find out Will does have a Twitter. So, you know, if people want to follow him.
Yeah, we're not going to plug that because Will is he's a lurker.
He's a lurker. What does that mean?
Will.
He said I could. He said I could say it.
Well, if he gave you the permission, by all means, you go ahead. I just didn't want to out him unsuspectingly.
Well, no, we don't have to. But I was like, oh, I didn't think you used Twitter, you know. So anyways, I told him that people were like, you know, interested. And he did good on the show. So, you know, if you want to follow him, it's GW Wrestling. So he is on there. So.
All right.
Anyways, those were his notes. And he also wanted us to know that there's a video by Third Base, the Gas Face. No, is the Gas Face the singer? No, Third Base is the band, and they're beating up like a Vanilla Ice at the end.
Yes. So,
do you know who's beating him up?
They had a full-on white boy versus white boy feud going on at the time. Yes,
right. Okay.
Yeah, I don't. Like, I've seen the clip. I have never actually listened to Third Base to know if any of that's any good.
Yeah, it wasn't for me, but I did go down that rabbit hole that, you know, you guys all like to take me down. So
it goes Vanilla Ice, then you go down a little bit lighter, and it's Third Base, and then you take a sharp drop, and you end up in snow.
I like snow.
And then, for all intents and purposes, that whole subgenre of white boys in rap just kind of disappeared for a bit until Dr. Dre, of all people, dug up Eminem. And
I know. Wow.
And, you know, the world was never the same.
No, really wasn't. I'm good with that. So, okay. I'm a fan of him. Maybe we'll get one of his songs, like a legit, you know, a good song. Okay, so there's no way we're going to read through all these crazy lyrics. So we're going to go down to kind of talk about, this is something that stood out to me. And I was just thinking the song where he's like rolling in my 5.0 with my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girl, he's on standby waving just to say hi. And I just want to say this to people. I do not think men in convertibles is like a good thing. So I always... I don't know. I just don't understand that. But in the video, right, he's like rolling around in a Mustang, right?
Confirmed.
So made me kind of think, like, my first legit date in life, the guy had a convertible Mustang. And he like picked me up and I was like, this car is a no, like, for me. So anyways, do you have any thoughts on that, Steve?
With his rag top down so his hair can blow. That man had so much Aquanet holding that box cut together that it was impenetrable. No wind was making it through that hair.
No.
At all.
No.
In fact, he's lucky the hair didn't break and fly off.
Yeah. This is true. Aquanet for sure up in that hair. Yeah.
Now,
the video is fun, though.
Yes. It's a multicultural experience. Mm-hmm. You got white people, black people. There's an Asian gal in there just kind of hanging out. It is, at some points, he's dressed in a snazzy windbreaker. At others, he's dressed like he's going to prom. Like, it's different.
Getting it all in there.
I don't think he was getting anything in.
Well, just, you know, whatever. It was his one moment of fame. He's actually still doing stuff in life. Like, you know, doesn't he have a show or something? Like,
yes, he is on one of those HGTV shows. Like,
that's
crazy. I don't think it's on HGTV Network, but it's a show in that vein.
Or like DYI.
Yes. One of the bastard little brothers of HGTV.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you started the song off with this, buddy, when he talks about the A1A Beachfront Avenue. I mean, I guess just from Miami, right? That's where he's from, right?
Allegedly.
Do we know this? It's probably not true.
You know, he's probably from, I don't know, West Palm Beach. Living with
He's like Drake.
Living with his dentist uncle.
Yes, like Drake. He had money, and now people, you know, buy into his stuff. Like, yeah. Oh, gosh. That's funny.
I mean, he says he's jealous because they're out getting mine. Shay with a gauge and Vanilla with a 9. Those boys aren't carrying guns. What kind of fuckery is this?
Yes. Yes. That's true. I don't believe that either. But they're talking about cocaine coming up here. So the chumps are acting ill because they're so full of eight balls. So he was just throwing that out there, right? Like, because
he's a confirmed snitch.
He is?
No, I'm just slandering Vanilla Ice now for the sake of slandering him.
Well, what else did you learn from Behind the Music?
Essentially, what I've reiterated here, that there was no authenticity to what this guy was doing.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much what led to his quick exit from the rap game.
Yeah.
The whole genre is built on being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
He comes in, and part of the problem was the marketing. You know, they were literally making Ken dolls of him. But also...
Were they really? I didn't know that. Oh, yes. Crazy.
There was a doll about the size of a Barbie and Ken doll that was Vanilla Ice looking pretty.
Okay, if I was, like, probably, like, 10, I would have really, like, I liked Barbies. I might have had one of those.
It was in the same vein as the Vanilla, or not the Vanilla, I'm sorry, the New Kids on the Block dolls they had at the same time.
I had some of those.
With those amazing commercials. No, I'm the biggest fan. I have the car, and I have Jordan Knight's baggy pants. And a lock of his hair.
Hey, New Kids. I went to their concert, so.
All right, that's
writing them down on my list now.
That's an amazing tidbit that we will put a pin in and revisit later.
I was little. I was in fourth grade, so.
All right, you skipped ahead a little bit. I want to come back.
You're going to go back? Okay, go back. Okay.
Something grabs a hold of him tightly, and he flows like a harpoon daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. I have the answer for that, Vanilla Ice. It stopped like a motherfucker like 9 months later.
I looked up, like, then I flew. Do you know what a harpoon is?
Like a little spear, like on a rope?
Yeah. I thought that, so it was kind of like weird. How did those flow? I don't know. I was like, I don't even really know what that is. So I Googled it. And He's just talking smack.
And not doing it exceptionally well.
No.
Killing our brains like a poisonous mushroom.
Yes. I did skip all that. I'm sorry.
Now, that anything less than the best is a felony. I actually really like that line. It's my main takeaway from the song. In my past life, I worked with adolescent girls. And we had this period between what was rec time and dinner time that... never failed. Just a 15-minute spot where there was nothing on the schedule. And every damn day, somebody would do something stupid and end up in trouble. So I started just writing a quote of the day, and we would spend those 15 minutes breaking down what that line meant to them. And that was one of my picks, was anything less than the best is a felony. We ended up settling on, you know, if you're not trying your hardest at something, that you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah.
And this was, I mean, to his credit, I've been giving him a lot of shit, but this is not a bad song at all. It probably was his best shot of anything in the world, and he had just nothing left to give after this, besides the Surreal Life and the DIY Network.
Yeah. No, and you're right. Like, that's kind of, like, sounds cheesy, but my dad, like, you know, obviously everyone, we've told him, you know, my dad passed away, and so when my brother spoke at his funeral, that was kind of like a story he told, and I was like, oh, it was like... he's at practice with my dad, and my dad was like, oh, he wasn't trying, you know? Mm-hmm. My dad's like, just take your helmet off and go sit in the car. Like, I don't even want you over here. And then when he driving home, he was like, if you're not going to do something like all your best, don't fucking do it, basically. You know what I mean? Right. So, like, my brother was like 8, you know? And he's like, oh, yeah. And so, like, really, like, I think that's, like, stuck with him, you know? It's like, if you're not going to do your best at something, like, stop and try again tomorrow, do better or whatever, you know? And I was like, yeah, I can see that, so... All right, where are we at?
Now, I like to get into this whole middle verse here down A1A. Because there's...
okay.
This is one part of the song where there actually is a bit of a cohesive story he's telling here.
Okay.
Went down Beachfront Avenue. Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. So I'm assuming they're wearing possible post-it notes just on their nipple and crotch regions.
Well, like, you ever see, like, hot chicks in Miami wear those, like... they got some, like, really tiny, tiny, you know, thongs and whatever, so...
So there's people out there jealous that he's getting his. He has a gun, and they're ready for somebody who's acting out because they're all coked up. Somebody shoots. He grabs his 9. All he hears is shells. with the implication being that someone's busting a shotgun at him. I think what happens here is he heard a loud noise. He ran, tripped over perhaps seashells on the boardwalk. Because that's how soft I perceive Vanilla Ice to be.
Yes.
Fallen on the concrete real fast, jumped in my car, slammed on the gas. He didn't want any smoke at all.
No.
He's talking this good shit. Somebody actually pulls a gun. His inclination is to run like a little bitch.
Yeah. Which would be mine too. So
and saying. On top of all that, his first thought is he's trying to get away before he gets carjacked.
Yes.
Police on the scene, you know what I mean? They passed me up, confronted all the dope fiends. All right, so this guy's just hanging out with crackheads, essentially. For no good reason other than to be able to come back and write a Grammy-winning verse about it.
Yeah, that's true.
But then he closes all that with, if there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. No, you won't, man. You will run and tell the story later.
It was definitely like a car backfired, and he was thinking like, it's like something like.
He hit the deck.
Yeah, he hit the deck. And I'll be honest, I've been in my house, and I'm like, was that a gun or was that a car? I was like, it's always just a car backfiring. That's what I like to think to myself.
an AMC Pacer was rolling down Beachfront Avenue, backfired. He tripped over seashells. There were crackheads running amok. It sounds like a wild, wild afternoon in Miami.
Yes. Yes. That's funny. Well, then we got how he calls himself a lyrical poet. What's your thoughts on that?
He loses me by rhyming poet and know it, which is what everyone who's ever tried to do that does. You got to be more creative. If you don't have anything else, then just don't use that line. Take heed, because I'm a lyrical poet. 145 people wrote this song, just in case you didn't know it, is what that should have been. Including but not limited to Suge Knight's buddy, David Bowie, the ghost of Freddie Mercury, and possibly MC Hammer, who was his mentor.
So
yeah, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
Now this part is accurate. If Miami is in fact his town, they created all the bass sound. At the time, 2 Live Crew was the big Miami group. And they were, before I go too deep into this, are you familiar with 2 Live Crew?
Yes.
All right. Very bass heavy, very party heavy, very vulgar. Like, as they essentially were the reason that the parental advisory labels are now on CDs. Because they came out with, between them and NWA, just blatantly saying, fuck the police.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, out of nowhere, like, all right, Al Gore's wife said, we got to do something about this shit today. And that's why you can't get in certain CDs at Walmart anymore.
Well, yeah, that's... I know, that's crazy times. Crazy times.
Is there anything all else you want to pick apart from this here line or this here block of lyrics?
No, there's not. No, no.
All right, after snitching on the drug dealers in the last verse, he has the audacity to say, if rhyme was a drug, he'd sell it by the gram. No, you wouldn't.
Steve, you're really seeing this song in like a good way. This tells me a lot about you, actually. You're understanding this much better than I did.
All right, I grew up in a house where drugs were around. I work in the prison system, so
yes.
I'm around dope dealers all the time. I grew up listening to rap. At a certain point, probably my high school years, I removed myself from people who engage in these activities.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm pretty well versed in the ways, you know?
You got it.
I see this guy as just a, I've said it multiple times on the show, he's a fraud. There's nothing authentic about this guy. Either as a rapper, as a gangster, as a alleged drug dealer, like he owes everything he ever had to the streets, and he's given nothing back.
Nope.
Yo, man, let's get out of here. Word to your mother. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, now we know what this Vanilla Ice song is about, so...
Yeah, and looking at the songwriters at the end of the Google lyrics here.
Yes. What does it say?
Brian May, Floyd Brown, Freddie Mercury, Mario Johnson, Robert Van Winkle, and Roger Meadows Taylor.
So there's five of them.
That's too many.
Yeah.
For the content that we got here, there's too damn many.
Yes, I would agree with you on that.
All right. Well, that was a fun little conversation about Ice Ice Baby. And now we change gears a bit and taking a rare trip into the genre of country music. Kelly, have we done a country song before on the show?
No.
I don't think we have either.
Because, like, Kelly Clarkson is not, yeah, no, because I was like, we did because of you, but I know she does, like, some crossover country, but I don't consider her country.
No,
so
not at all.
We have not. We have not, no.
This song was first released on the 1997 album Aloha from Nashville, and this is called You Will Never Leave Harlan, H-A-R-L-A-N, Will. You Will Never Leave Harlan
Racist.
Alive, as performed and written by Daryl Scott. This has been re-released a couple times, most famously by Brad Paisley. This song got on my radar, as most things do in life, through professional wrestling. It is used as the music for Trevor Lee, the CWF Mid-Atlantic champion, who is just on a tear and has been for the better part of 2 years, I believe. It's a song that really caught my attention once I actually sat down and listened to it, partially because I am in Kentucky, where Harlan also is. It's just interesting that it was an interesting choice for music, so I decided to go back and delve into it. And I'm stalling for
time.
So
this is one of the wrestlers' like entry songs into the ring?
Yeah, it's a different
Which
mix.
Version?
I'm not entirely sure.
Okay, no, sorry to put you on the spot.
John Filipovich, if you're listening, reach out to us and let us know that.
Yeah, what version?
And Jeremy Bryant could also give us that information as well. I accidentally minimized the page here, so I'm going to type it back.
Yeah, like
in real
I saw,
quick.
Like Patti Loveless did this song, and then you know, like you said, Brad Paisley.
All right, in the deep dark hills of eastern Kentucky, that's the place where I trace my bloodline, and it's there I read on a hillside gravestone, "You will never leave Harlan alive." Now, that's a pretty damn ghastly opening to a song.
Yeah.
Imagine that's you're on your deathbed, making your arrangements, and, all right, Steve, you got any last request? Yeah, man, I want to make sure everybody knows that once you're in this town, you will never leave here alive.
But that is like,
guys,
that's
like,
how.
All
that's
right.
How it is.
Yeah, that'll be $72.50. Yeah.
But that's like how a lot of small, I don't know, I didn't look this up. Like how many people live here? Do you know?
And ooh, that's a good question.
Is it a small town or I assume so.
Smallish, yeah. On the last show, I mistakenly said that's where Colonel Sanders is from. It's not. His first name is Harlan. And I got confused.
Oh my gosh. You lied to the people?
I did. That's why I included in the show notes that Steve proves he knows next to nothing about Kentucky's geography.
Well, you know.
Yes, the population was 1,745 people at the 2010 census.
That's small.
And that is down about 300 people from the 2000 census.
Wow.
So, yeah, not only is it small, but it's shrinking.
Wow.
Wow. And to me, this is very indicative of life in a lot of these small counties.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people never leave. They see no way out. It's the way it is. It's all they know. Even though I grew up in Louisville, which was the biggest city in Kentucky, that's kind of like being the prettiest waitress at Denny's. You know, what are you really winning there? But
Kentucky is a pretty place.
Yes. I didn't know anybody who was what you would call a successful adult. My parents were both ninth grade dropouts. Dad washed windows. Mom worked various fast food gigs. The best people that I knew, if you're lucky, you ended up in some kind of a factory job, like a Ford or something along those lines.
Oh, yeah.
Where you'd be bringing in good money, but you would be absolutely killing yourself for it.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that wasn't for me because my hands are soft and dainty.
Oh.
So I figured out a way out myself. I was very fortunate when I was 18 to stumble into a psychiatric hospital to put in a job application, not for a 3-day stay. I applied just as a joke, thinking they would never call me back, and I'll be damned, they did. And that's the kind of work I've had ever since. To go almost, it'll be 18 years in December. So that was my way out. Other people are not so fortunate. Every so often, I would check the Facebook pages of people I grew up with, and they are still in that same damn trailer park.
Mm-hmm.
Which blows my mind, because that means they've since acquired their own trailers. It just didn't go anywhere. They moved out of their parents' place and just lived three lots down. It's insane to me.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not want more? I mean, granted, you know, everybody doesn't have the same opportunities. Maybe they did want more and just didn't have a way.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, just, you know, couldn't be me. I'll say that. You know,
yeah.
God bless them.
No, I'm with you. I totally get that.
Right. It says, well, my granddad's dad walked down Catarins Mountain. I don't know if that's a real place or not. I didn't bother looking that up. And he asked Tilly.
You're fired from being our Kentucky
expert. I am. I went from being a professional podcaster 30 minutes ago to an unprepared schmuck for the second half. And he asked Tilly Hilton to be his bride. He said, won't you walk with me out of the mouth of this holler, or we'll never leave Harlan alive? Are you familiar with a holler, Kelly?
No.
All right. This is something that even though I grew up in Kentucky and I'm still there, I didn't know what it was until about eighth grade, I think. We had a teacher explain to us that it was called the holler because that's how you would communicate. You would yell down the hill. You would literally holler at someone.
Okay.
I don't know if that's legitimate because having teachers in Kentucky, I was often told things that just weren't true.
Well, teachers just wing it, you know, sometimes I would think. And kids ask you such crazy shit. Yes. It's like,
and the mouth of this holler, to me, that indicates like a valley.
Yeah.
Possibly where two hills or mountains would come together. The Smoky Mountains, I believe, or the Appalachians are on the east side of Kentucky.
Yes.
So, yeah, you would get the mouth of that holler. You're trying to leave the valley of those treacherous-ass mountains and finding a way out.
Yes, yes. Well, I wouldn't know that because I grew up in Arizona and I've lived in Texas. So it's like, it's all flat. We don't have hills. We don't even have mountains where I live. So it's like, okay.
Maybe a year and a half ago, I watched this documentary on Netflix about the coal industry. It may have just been called coal. I don't remember offhand. I've long thought that coal is just an obsolete form of energy. It's doesn't burn particularly clean, but more importantly than that, the workers in the coal industry just don't seem to do well health-wise.
No.
It's back-breaking work. You're down there breathing in God knows what.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where they push money into legislation to make sure this industry is kept afloat.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I didn't realize that apparently a lot of those small coal towns, like, did not exist before the coal companies came in. They were desolate areas where the coal company would come in and set up shop and actually build the houses themselves, bring in people to work for them, sell them the houses to where they were dependent on the coal company. You know, if you lose your job, you still owe money on the house. There's no other work there because the coal industry is the town, and it was like a perpetual cycle.
Well, yeah. So, like, where my family's from, there's coal mines there, and there's all these houses. They call them like patches, and they were built so like there's a bigger house maybe for somebody that was like the boss. And then there was just like a row of houses and they were made for the workers. You know what I mean? And they're still there. They're not for coal mining, you know, not for that anymore, but there's all these different like groups of houses and that's what they came from, you know, back when they were doing coal mining.
And it's just that this whole industry is just crooked as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's the only way to make money and you're providing for your family, you know, you end up getting trapped.
Yeah, like my dad, like back in the like early 80s, worked in the mines, and he made like I don't know. I want to say it was like $50,000, you know, that was a lot of money. Like where my family lives, like I could go there today and buy a house for like $30,000. You know, it's not a expensive place to live. So, you know, you're living high, like that's a lot of money, you know, even though he had four kids, whatever. So, but when he lost that job, that's when my parents left, you know, because they're like, there was nothing else that he was going to make that kind of money. And so he left that town, you know, and we moved to Arizona, but nobody does that. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like people just didn't do that. Like that's crazy, you know, but that definitely, I mean, then everything there just starts to die. It's like where I live now, the oil, like when the oil's good, everything's booming, like people are buying all the houses and whatever. But then when it goes down, forget it, you know, like people can't afford their house payment and they start leaving, and it's kind of the same deal over here. So
yeah, in Kentucky, our big thing is still tobacco.
Really?
Yes. Oh. There is, anytime there's talk of raising prices on cigarettes, it's all over the news here that people are just up in arms that the farmers are going to suffer from, because that's what they've done for years. They've had tobacco farms, and that's the only way they know to make money. Like I get that, and I do feel for them not having a fallback. But at the same time, I mean, it's pretty much proven now that there's nothing good coming from tobacco.
Yes.
Like, it's literal poison.
Yes.
That the tobacco companies have put additives into it that make them more addictive.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's just, to me, you know, holding on to something just for the sake of jobs is foolhardy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody commented when I was up in arms over this coal thing a year or two back that something to the effect of, oh man, these stupid cell phones, they took the operator's jobs, you know, just being silly, you know,
yeah,
at the absurdity of it all. You know, you educate yourself and you move forward, and a lot of people just don't want to do that for whatever reason. With Kentucky, and from my understanding, North Carolina as well, there's too much money to be had in tobacco.
Yeah.
So, you know, they will sacrifice morals for the sake of keeping those dollars going.
Yeah, well, that's an American pastime, honestly.
Absolutely.
You know.
All right. Where the sun comes up about 10 in the morning and the sun goes down about 3 in the day. I had to think about this for a full month. First time.
Yeah,
I
like
heard
I
that.
Don't even know what you
Well, it is, once I started thinking about the geography of where this is set, it made sense. It's like I said, you're down in essentially the holler.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that does make sense. Okay.
Yeah, and that's just the patch of time that the sunlight is visible down in that valley.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And that paints a bleak and depressing picture. You know, you need sunlight. It's vital for mental health.
Yeah.
So you're already doing this backbreaking work, just trying to survive. You don't have a way out. And on top of that, you have clinical depression just because of a lack of vitamin D in your life.
Yeah. This is pretty horrible because I have that and I live in Texas. I try to avoid the sun. That's horrible. So,
to be fair, you are a very fair-skinned individual.
Yeah.
The sun may, in fact, kill you.
Yeah, my grandfather has skin cancer. Well, he's 88, but he does. And I'm like, fuck that. So I don't, you know, I try not to like directly have sun like without sunblock on me. So,
well, even seeing the sun is helpful.
It's immense. No, it is like I've only lived in sunny places, so I don't understand like Arizona here. Like when I look out my office and it's gloomy, my whole attitude's like, like I just want to go home and get in bed. This sucks, you know? So I don't want to, it's not that I love heat, but I like to see the sun and look outside and it be sunny. So.
And that is fair.
Yeah.
All right. And you fill your cup with whatever bitter brew you're drinking and you spend your life just thinking how to get away.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
It is. You have a bunch of depressed, no sunlight having alcoholics down here.
Yeah.
But there's no resources, so they're having to make their own alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever watched that Moonshiner show?
Yeah.
So, all right, picture this, right?
I've,
you're sitting there, no television. You can't get any cable TV down there for damn sure.
No internet.
Just trying to figure shit out. And you're having to get your drink from some fucker named Tickle.
Oh, fuck. Oh, God.
And on top of that, you got some Barney Fife looking son of a bitch trying to make sure you don't get the drink in your hands.
Yes.
He's out there searching the wooded areas for, I forget what they call them, stills, I think.
Yes.
Because they need the freshest, the damn freshest mineral water.
Have you ever tried homemade moonshine?
No, I've intentionally stayed away.
Okay. Well, you know, my family, of course, we have a, you know, people that like to make, you know, it's probably illegal, but moonshine and wine. And so a few years ago, like at my cousin's wedding, my uncle had brought some. And I swear, and like I still feel to this day, I probably have damage like down my throat from that shit. Like I drank it and it was like gasoline or something. I'm like, I don't understand why you even want to drink this, but you could feel that, like, and everybody loved it. And I was like, I'm out. Like, this is not for me. But I've drank moonshine from like the grocery store and it's like, that's nothing. You know what I mean? But it's like legit, like it'll mess you up. Like,
no.
Don't drink it.
As anyone who encountered me the first night of the Scenic City Invitational will tell you, after my three little cups of Southern Comfort and Coke, like, I was gone.
Yeah.
Like, I was literally holding a rail at one point by the pool. And I voiced to Kim that, like, if I let go of this rail, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, will I fly away? Will I fall? Where she's like, yeah, probably option B.
Yeah. So don't drink moonshine, because no. I don't drink very much either. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was harsh and it hurt for like, I think for like a month, I felt like I could feel that. I was like, that was probably not good.
Yeah. So. I would be ill prepared for such an event.
Yeah. Like, you know, wine, I'm not big about wine, but it's fun and they make it in different flavors, whatever. It's fun. It's something to drink, whatever. But like that moonshine was like, I'm out on that for the rest of my life. I'm not, I told him that when I was there, I'm not drinking that ever again. So
yeah, the last time I was even around it was a few years back. I was still in nursing school and I actually had to go to the clinical site for the first time the next day at a new site. And again, as most things in life, we're watching a wrestling show together and somebody pulls out what they called apple pie flavored homemade moonshine.
That was what I had.
And I'm like, that sounds delicious and like a terrible idea. Like, I can't get engaged with that right now.
You just didn't even try like a sip.
No, because this was already like 10 p.m. and I had to be at the clinical site at a rehab facility at 6:30 the next morning.
Okay. You're so responsible.
Well, keep in mind, I wasn't working. I put all my chips at the time on passing nursing school.
And oh,
I
yeah.
Not a 4-day fuck up.
I can see that.
All right. It says, no one ever knew there was coal in the mountains till a man from the northeast arrived. Waving $100 bills, he said, I'll pay you for your minerals. But he never left Harlem alive. Now, this is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I had questions here.
Yeah, apparently it looks like somebody tried to buy them out. And may or may not have been murdered.
That's what I was like, what's happening?
This song was written in 1997, but I think it reflects an earlier time.
Yes.
Surely you weren't still getting away with murdering Yankees in 1997. But
no.
Who knows?
But this is what happens in these oil towns. Like, not murder. Well, I hope not. But like, even like just crazy. You know, you'll see like an area where they, you know, I don't know a lot about it, but I think like these oil companies will come in and they go to people that own land and they're just like, hey, can we search your land, you know, see if there's any oil, and they'll put the pumps on there or whatever. And you're just getting like a check every month. It's like a slot machine, you know, things right. Look, I don't know if you've ever seen one before, but anyways, and that'll happen. And then all of a sudden, it's interesting. A lot of times, like I would fly to Pittsburgh and like where my family lives there, for a period of time, there was oil. I don't know if there still is, but there was some guy that was going to sell land. And then I think they discovered oil on it, you know, and he was selling it for a mall or something. I don't know. And it was like, all of a sudden he's wealthy, you know? And then it was just weird because a lot of people from here were like going up there to work, you know? And I'm just like, there are a lot of poor people in the town I grew up in. You know what I mean? And like, they should be doing those jobs. But it was like, these guys are like, no, I'm making enough money. I'll go up there for a month, come home for a month. I mean, these guys pulling in, you know, six figures a year working on these oil rigs or whatever. But it happens. Like, they find it, they'll come in, and then the whole place is just like turned upside down until they just drain all the oil. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. I think what they do is like, they'll pay the laborers a pretty fair wage.
But, oh, yeah.
But in a property buyout, where they're saying, you know, here, we'll give you X amount of money to give us your land so we can strip it. Oftentimes, I think what they'll do is they know they're dealing with people who may be less educated. They go into knowing that the land is worth millions.
Yeah.
And like, oh, here's the $150,000 check for this house that your granddad paid $25,000 for 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've never seen that kind of money, so they don't know the value. They're like, oh shit, I'm going to jump all over that. Whereas if you know this call is coming, you can do a little research, you know, prepared to negotiate a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if they want it bad enough to come knock on your door, then, you know, they're more than willing to talk, most likely.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of things like that I've read here about, like, or people I know that were given bad deals, but they signed it. So now, you know, well, you can't go to court and go against like a big corporation. You'll never win. You know, it just doesn't matter. And no, you're so right. Like, it's so funny. My grandparents, they're super, well, they're like, I don't know, 88, 85 or something like, you know, I don't know. They're older. And I was talking to them when I was there this last time. And I was like, how much did you buy your house for? Like, it's three stories. It's huge. Like, they have, I don't know, five bedrooms. I don't know. It's a big house. And they were like $3,500. And I was like, wow. Like, that's crazy. But if someone came to them and was like, I'm going to give you $150,000, they'd probably be like, yeah, like, even though it might be worth $500,000 now. You know what I mean? Because they're like, oh, we only bought it for $3,500. So I was like, that is crazy, thinking you could get a house like that at some point in life.
So right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will watch a lot of old footage on YouTube from the 80s, and you'll see brand new cars of models that still exist. Brand new for, you know, $59.95.
Oh, I know.
Like, what the hell?
That's why when people get on the millennials, I'm like, this makes no sense. Like, you bought a house for $5,000. Right. Like, you can't even, I don't even know, but I think where I live, the average house price is still probably $150,000. You know what I mean? It's not like the average income here is that great. And I'm like, man, these people are talking a lot of smack for, you know.
Right.
They got stuff a lot cheaper back then, so.
All right, well, Granny, she sold out cheap, and they moved out west to Pineville to a farm where Big Richland River winds. And I'll bet she danced them a jig, and they laughed and sang a new song, Who Said We Never Leave Harlan Alive? Now, I hadn't read ahead here. It looks like she confirmed, just like we talked about, sold out cheap, got the hell out of there. That was her way out.
Mm-hmm.
However, she moved out apparently by herself because... But the times, they got hard, and tobacco wasn't selling, and old granddad knew what he'd do to survive. He went and dug for Harlan coal and sent the money back to Granny, but he never left Harlan alive. They sold out cheap, they got away temporarily, but then they're well dried. You know, tobacco mm-hmm. wasn't selling, so he had to go right back to the only trade he ever knew, and ended up dying right back where he started.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this story does not have a happy ending.
Well, no, I'm keep talking about the oil because it's all I can think about. Well, you see that here, like, these guys work, or girls, but I mean, I'm going to say it's probably majority men, and they go do these jobs and they're gone, like, all the time. And then a lot of women live here that are, you know, married to guys that do that. And it's like, they don't see them, they don't see their kids. Like, they'll be gone, you know, a month at a time. And it's just, it's crazy. And like, you make good money, but your kids grow up fast, you know, and it's just like a very strange thing to me. And I don't understand that because I'm like, a lot of, you know, they're not here. Like, what's the point, you know? But we see that a lot, like, because they'll go be at the oil rigs. And I mean, I had a friend that used to do it, and he's like, yeah, I was supposed to be there for 2 weeks, and they'd keep me there for six, you know, because they needed people, or you'd get stuck while a rig was moving. And I'm like, that's crazy, like, being away 6 weeks, you know, but they're making six figures, so they're just like, just take whatever, you know.
And if you have that instilled in you, especially as the male of the family, that's your job, you're the provider,
mm-hmm.
you know, then it may not seem like that big of a deal. I I like having both sides, you know. I like providing, but at the same time, I like that time with my child.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody does not have that same experience.
Nope. And some people grow up with that being normal. You know what I mean? Right. Like, they're just like, oh, well, my sister-in-law has talked to me about that before. Like, her dad, you know, he was a rancher. He worked sun up to sundown. You know what I mean? That was just, that was normal, you know, and he worked his ass off. But, I mean, he is working, you know, and that's just kind of what she always was used to when she was growing up, you know. And I wasn't. Like, my dad was home every evening, so I didn't have that same type of, you know, experience, so...
All right. I think that'll wrap us up for this week. On our next show, I am choosing a song from the Dirty Mac Hall of Fame. We're going with Billy Paul, 1972 hit, Me and Mrs. Jones.
Oh, wow.
That's a song all about Billy Paul making moves on one of your aunts. I don't know which one of you out there. Billy Paul got in those yams, just a heads up.
He did.
Kelly,
that's a good one.
Yeah, what are you going with next time?
Okay, I know you're not going to like this. We're going to do a Smashing Pumpkins song. We're going to do Disarm.
Disarm?
Yes.
I am not familiar with that song at all.
No, not at all. I know you're not a Smashing Pumpkins fan, and that's fine.
You know, I like Tonight Tonight, and I like Tonight Tonight.
Well, it's fine. You know, this is just what, this is my favorite. This is just one of, you know, one of my songs from that time in my life. I don't know. It was like 94, 90 song. I don't know. But I'm a fan of them. And I just, you know, so we'll get to that on the next episode.
All right. Kelly, do you have anything to plug this week?
I guess just the same. You can follow me on Twitter at KelGene17.
All right, guys, you can follow me at Not Dr. Death, NotDrDeath. My notifications are a bit of a mess as we record.
Oh, my gosh.
I put out a stupid thing about Jeff Hardy doing a flip at SummerSlam, and my God, that son of a bitch has blown up. So if you add me, I may not see it for a couple days, so don't get your feelings hurt if I don't follow back. I'm not big-timing you. I just straight up. Like, every time I look on my phone, it says 99-plus notifications.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's fucking difficult. But I anticipate that dying down in the next day or two. You could follow the show proper at PTBN_songs. Thanks to the 10 or so new followers that we got off that Jeff Hardy tweet.
Hey.
And you can email us at PTBNsongswithfriends@gmail.com. We are open to song suggestions. We make no guarantees that we'll get to it. But I do have a running list of songs people have put out there that they want us to do. And hopefully we will find ways to work those in. Kelly, anything you want to say to the people before we go?
Nah, I'm good.
All right. For Kelly, I'm Steve. Thanks for joining us once again for Songs with Friends. We'll see you next time.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcast, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaySpeedNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaySpeedNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaySpeedNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We'll be right back.